A tēnā rā, koutou i te iwi whānui, ko Mokotron tēnei e kōrero ana nei ki a koutou. Today we're going to have a listen to my new EP, Embrace the Bass. Mauri ora.
First off, talk to me about your name. How do you come up with it, and what's its translation?
Mokotron, I guess means descendant. So the deeper meaning of that word moko is, or the way I've used it, is that it relates to Ruaumoko. Ruaumoko is the god of earthquakes and seismic activity in the Māori world. So I was trying to figure out who's the Māori god of bass, because we don't really have bass instruments. So I thought, well, it's probably the closest we're going to get is Ruaumoko, as the god of kind of, low frequency seismic activity. So I use that to, I guess, refer to the kind of music I make. Tron, I'm just obsessed with lots of things called Tron. But I guess when you put Moko and Tron together, it's about saying, I'm a grandchild of those people from the home planet, and they left that home planet and came to the city to live. They carried the all spark with them. And so, yeah, there's a lot of lines getting connected to there. Yeah, that's kind of what Mokotron means. It's quite hard to explain.
What was the motivation to keep this project anonymous, and how's that working out for you?
For me, the project is not about me as a person. It's not about promoting myself or making myself important, or I don't care if people know who I am or what I look like or what my name is. For me, it's more the kaupapa that's really important. And I think if you look at electronic music, a lot of the best electronic musicians have used anonymity, because it's not really about them, it's about what they're trying to project. Also, to be honest, I just get a lot of, within my own community, there's certain expectations of what you should and shouldn't do, and there's an expectation as a Māori musician that you'll make music that sounds like Catch a Fire or sounds like LAB. I don't want to do that. I want to do something different.
How long ago was it that you started working on Embrace the Bass? Where does it fit in around your previous records and releases?
How long ago did I start working on Embrace the Bass? Embrace the Bass came out, it was kind of a result of my second EP. So I released that in March 2021, and one of the songs called Dawn of Bass kind of just took off on that EP, and that really launched me internationally, and that's how I got picked up by Elektra Records in Spain. So after that song took off, I just ended up writing lots and lots of dark electro, like maybe 12 different tunes, all one after the other after the other. I kind of couldn't help it. I couldn't hold it back. So I just, not really to capitalize on the nature of the song or the fact that it had taken off. It was just a creative thing, I just wanted to write lots and lots of dark electro. So I probably wrote it between April and June of 2021, last year. So it was over 2 or 3 months.
There is a slight style shift from previous releases on Embrace the Bass. What steered you in the direction of bass-heavy electro?
I think for me, like, my favorite music is dark electro, but I've never thought it was authentic for someone from this country to do that. So I've always tried to, if I'm going to do something like that, I'll do it in te reo Māori, or I'll do it with pūoro Māori, or I'll at least talk about indigenous issues. But yeah, I just went a bit crazy for about 3 months there, and just kept writing and writing and writing. I like to, when I'm writing the EPs, I like to have variety. I want to kind of flex different styles, and that's why this Embrace the Bass is so different, because it's almost atonal, it's just dark bass, that's it.
How did you get looped in with Elektra Records over in Spain?
So I dropped that song, Dawn of Bass, on my second EP, and it just went nuts. It was showing up on mixes all over the world every day, and people were really kind of championing the song. And I'm not totally clear on what happened, but what I did see was I was featured on a really amazing DJ called DVS Enemy. He did a best of 2021 kind of wrap up for the year. And it was only halfway through 2021, so I was like, hey, maybe it's a bit early to call it. But he put my tune on this mix saying, hey, this is the best of 2021. And that's when it kind of went really crazy. And literally within 24 hours, I had lots of labels buying my whole back catalog, lots of DJs getting in touch. You know, Elektra Records had gotten in touch with me and agreed to release my whole back catalog. So it was just it was a really intense 24 hours. But it's so much support from people overseas, from DVSN and me, Cygnus, heaps of other people, and especially Alex Stark from Elektra Records.
Get into the tracks now, starting with Initiate Sequence. Was there a reason you picked this to be the opening track?
So that's Alec. Alec understands that you have to have the hottest track for the overseas audience right there, because people won't go through all the songs. So if the first song doesn't hit, then you're not going to sell records. So that was his choice. But that was also me being very blatant. I think that's the most meaningless tune I've ever written. That was me just trying to write a hit electro record. It has no meaning. It's just me doing what I love, which is plugging a 101, a 303, and an 808 together and just, you know, trying to make something hype.
Embrace the Bass, which is obviously the title track of the 12-inch. Is there a story behind this one?
Yeah, that was from a drunken conversation I had with Tim Checkley from Go Nuclear back in the 90s, actually. Back in the late 90s, you know, because in the early to mid-90s, Auckland always had an edge to its electronic music scene, with, you know, techno being the kind of intellectual mainstay, and the underground was run by psy trance people. Drum and bass was still the hero. Jungle was still the hero. So, you know, there'd always been this edge to music in the city. In the late 90s, house started taking over. And so I just remember having this conversation with Tim at the time about how house was taking over the club nights. And it's, you know, it's a much safer form of music. And he just said this. We were very drunk. And he just said to me, aliens need to get a time machine and go back in the past and tell people to embrace the bass. And it was just a crazy thing he said to me, I don't know, 25 years ago or something, but it stuck in my head. And I said to him a couple of times, you need to make a song called Embrace the Bass. And 25 years later, he did it. He hasn't. So I was like, stuff it. I'm using that. That's a hit. The sound of it. I was in a, what do they call it, like a rave in the bush for New Year's, and someone played Chemical Brothers Superstar DJ, and that acid line is so hypnotic, and I was like, man, I want to try and write a, you know, something like that, a low register, repetitive kind of acid line, but then drop some bass over it. Native Rage. Okay, so that was when, what was that guy's name? Donald Trump. He was going for his presidency and it looked like he was going to win. But there was that particular week where everyone started coming out against him and it looked like America might get rid of him. And so I was writing some political ideas. You can hear it in the verses. But then while I was writing it, I saw a video by one of my homies called Sam Wong, who's a First Nation guy from Vancouver in Turtle Island, Abya Yala, in the illegitimate settler nation of Canada. And he'd just done this video of Indigenous people, takatāpui, whakatāne, whakawahine, so our queer and transgender people in Vancouver. And it just blew me away because here was these Indigenous people in a big city like us here in Tāmaki, and they just reminded me of us and our people. So it was really inspiring. But I remember watching the video and going, man, they look kind of scared and they look kind of worried. And I looked closer and I thought, hey, maybe they're not. Maybe they're angry. Maybe they want to tear the city apart. And that was, you know, the random idea that all those ideas came together and I just sat there and wrote Native Rage. Yeah, it was kind of more influenced by what was happening in Turtle Island and in the US and in Canada at the time, but also a way of talking about Indigenous rights generally. Okay. Remember when the National Party was attacking itself and then it kind of stopped and it tried to rebuild, and it did it with what are they called, ACT, by attacking Māori. So I wrote it around that time about, you know, seeing these right-wing parties kind of go back into attacking Māori to rebuild their, you know, rebuild their numbers, particularly for National after doing so badly in the election. So I wrote this verse, but I just couldn't pull it off. So I ended up just keeping the chorus. So yeah, it's like it's a political message, but I just couldn't get that verse in there, dude. I just couldn't get the breathing right.
Back.
Track number 5 features Go Nuclear, and you mentioned Tim earlier. What was it like working with them on this track, and how did you meet Tim in the first place?
Yeah, I just met him DJing back in the, must have been the mid-90s, just around Tamaki. He was more of a techno DJ at the time, and I was playing electro, but he also really liked electro, so we've just, worked with each other over decades now, to be honest. We did a lot of DJing, flattered together, ran a lot of parties, brought over some of the big DJs like DJ Digital from Detroit and DJ Godfather from Detroit. And so, I've just known him for ages, and it just made sense to do a tune with him, you know. I was just so incredibly proud when he started releasing vinyl releases of his electro on some of the big labels overseas. So I guess as soon as I got an opportunity, I was like, I'd like to bring Tim on board, just to show respect. He's held it down all along, so yeah.
Hello, this is Tim from Go Nuclear. So the virus track with Mokotron, we go way back, and we DJed and put on parties together back in the 90s and early 2000s. So we know a lot of the same kind of cultural touch points there. We're both kind of big Detroit electro techno fans. And so, it was really cool to reconnect and work on this track. And in terms of what happened, I think he wrote that crazy rap about a virus. Just, it's kind of a nice halfway house between our project's ethos. You know, he's all about kind of anti-colonialism, and we're more about kind of general mayhem. And then it's, also about computers. So that, that's cool. You know, chef's kiss. In terms of how it happened, he wrote most of the track, and I kind of remixed some of it, and we just got together for a session around at my place and mixed it. It came out really nice. Top stuff, Mokotron.
Oh,
So Electro Records needed 6 tunes for their EPs, right? But I only had like 4 or 5. So I had to deliver the last 2 tunes within 2 days, right? So on Saturday, I was going to go to Tim's house and finish off the Go Nuclear tune, but I still had to write one more song because I didn't have anything completely ready. So I literally got home at 4 o'clock and I had 4 hours from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. To write a tune, and I knew it needed a vocal. So I just literally got home at 4 o'clock, set up the mic, and just said the first thing that came out of my mouth. And the first thing that came out of my mouth was, "Put your hands in outer space for the wicked bad bass." It was just nonsense, man. I just watched an interview of an African American woman who'd sung a classic bass song and pretended to be like Jewish or Italian on the record, and she denied that she'd done it. And I was like, "Can a Tane Maori from Tamaki Makaurau pretend to be a Jewish woman on a record? I don't know, let's find out." So I just recorded that. I literally recorded that vocal in 1 minute, and I took the fruitiest, like most high-pitched delivery I had, sped it right up to chipmunk speed. And I remember my daughter just coming in and going, "You're not really going to use that, are you?" But I had no option, so I just went with it. I was like, maybe... You know, when you take time with a tune, you get to kind of refine it, but maybe this will be kind of rough and cool. And I think the feedback is people like that tune the most. The other vocal was, I always thought it would be funny if you just said the word "stop" in a record and the whole record stopped. So yeah, it was just a wild tune that I wrote within 4 hours because I had lied to a label and said I had a whole lot of tunes ready when actually I didn't. So I think creatively it kind of worked.
Stop. stop.